We will read from the scriptures, and the scripture reading this evening is Matthew 6, verses 1 through 18. And there we read the word of the Lord. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Here ends our scripture reading. The text for the sermon, congregation, is from the part we have been read this afternoon in verse 14 and 15 from Matthew 6. Verse 14 and 15 from Matthew 6, where we read our text. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. On this and other words of Scripture is based the teaching Lord's Day 51 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 51 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Which is the fifth petition. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Dear congregation, do you know the meaning of the word guilt? In our times, you can probably hear the statement that somebody was wrong, but not guilty. Today, a manager of a bank charged with maladministration can say that he is responsible, but not guilty. I don't know how it is in North America, but in Holland, the sense of guilt is eroding. Someone who has to justify his misbehavior before the judge retains a lawyer who defends him. The lawyer proposes several extenuating circumstances to prove that the accused is not really guilty. What is the guilt of his misbehavior, as it is a result of multiple unfortunate conditions? The man in question had a tough childhood and a troubled marriage. Moreover, he is not the only one who is responsible. And then the question is asked whether he is guilty or not. Does he have debts? What is the meaning of debt? In our world, guilt is a relative. But in the biblical sense, that is not to be relativist. In no way. Before God, we put forward mitigating circumstances whereby we think we are no longer guilty. But Scripture teaches us that debts, our guilt, has to be confessed. Only in that way the Lord can forgive sins. The theme of the sermon is this petition, and forgive us our debts. First of all, we look at the confession of this petition. Secondly, we look at the basis of this petition. Thirdly, we look at the consequence of this petition. And forgive us our debts. We look at the confession in this petition, the basis of this petition, and the consequence of this petition. The prayer, forgive us our debts, is an important petition. Because the issue is, where are your sins? Do I bear them by myself? Or are they covered up by the blood of Christ? Where are your sins? You can only stand before God when Christ has taken over all your debts. Otherwise, I'm lost with all my debts forever and ever. That the forgiveness of sins is very important is underscored by the teaching of the Lord Jesus about prayer. We have read in Matthew 6 that the Lord explains this petition, especially as we listen to verse 14, the practical lessons of the Lord, lessons we don't read with the other petitions. Thereby, the Lord Jesus makes clear that the forgiveness of sins does not only touch our relationship with God, but also touches our relationship to others. Forgiveness of sin is first of all a matter between God and our heart. But our righteousness before God stands not on its own. It affects the relation with my neighbor. The explanation of the catechism, which originates from Scripture, teaches us the confession of our sins in this petition. Who is the one that needs forgiveness of sins? The answer is poor sinners. What is a poor sinner? We read in the catechism, one who has transgressions and depravity, which always sticks to him. What is it about? Who is the man that confesses that he has transgressions and depravity? A man that by the Holy Spirit's grace has learned that he has debts, sins, and guilt before God. In this answer, we do not hear a man who for the first time sees that he is a sinner. No, we hear a man who knows in his conscience that God has forgiven all his sins. Someone who knows his debts with God. Someone who knows his need before God. Someone who may believe that his personal sins are forgiven according to Lord's Day 21. And knows that he is righteous before God only by faith. We know that we are in the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism. We therefore treat the question in the context of how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Prayer is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. This also includes this petition. Forgive us our debts. Thus, to the part of thankfulness belongs the confession that I am a sinner, that I am a poor sinner. And we have to pay attention to this. Living by faith is always accompanied with the ongoing confession of debts, the confession of sin and guilt, the confession of our foolishness, trespasses, and depravity are always in the background of the life of grace. It is part of the life of gratitude. It is important that we see this clearly. It is a confession that will always be necessary in our lives. The one who has learned by grace to flee to Christ, to shelter behind the blood, the one who possesses faith and is taught by God, the one whose heart overflows with the love of the Lord, is the one who more and more learns that he is a poor sinner on account of his transgressions and depravity, which always sticks to him. For some people, is this a controversial point? Because it does not sound like gospel. It is too sad and too negative. In their eyes, sin is always mentioned, even in the treatment of the part of thankfulness. But if we think we can skip uncovering preaching, we will also remain blind to who we really are. By this preaching, the Holy Spirit teaches us that we are corrupt, so that we will appropriate the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, I am carnal, salt under sin. Not to end herein, Paul continues, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because the grace of Christ causes a renewed longing to love God above all, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This renewed grace shines more fully against the background of our depraved lives. Those of us who possess the grace of God must confess. Every time I need to be convinced that I have nothing that pleases God. The only thing I have is sin. I understand that you don't like this lesson. It is a lesson that fights against your flesh. Who likes to be called a wretch? Who likes to be blamed for being the greatest criminal? None of us, I suppose. But God blames you rightly. We need the teaching of the Holy Spirit to become honest before God. That occasions an inner conflict. I am a poor sinner. In spiritual life, you learn to bow. Daily I need to flee to His throne of grace. O Lord, forgive me my debts. A poor sinner is, according to the Catechism, a transgressor and one with depravity. What are our transgressions and depravities? That we do not worship Him just as He deserves. It is not that we only make some missteps in our lives. The Lord says that you daily commit transgressions and constantly display your depravity. Think about King Belshazzar in Daniel 5. He was condemned by God because he had committed a great transgression. A great transgression? Yes. The Lord says to him, because the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. He had not glorified God. That was his depravity, and that is our depravity. We are inclined to live for ourselves. We have a heart that mistrusts the Lord rather than glorifies. David knew that in his confession. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Is this your experience? Does this draw you to His throne of grace? That you confess, I'm a poor sinner. Not in general, but personally. That is what we need to know. That we know something of our debts before God. That we will confess our debts and beseech the Lord to forgive our sins. In that way, God forgives sins. He that covereth the sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. And the Apostle John says in his first epistle, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, for the first time, but also by renewal. One of us asks, how do I learn this? To confess debts is not something we just do. Maybe you think, first of all, I have to realize that I have guilt before God, and I cannot receive forgiveness of sins before I feel my guilt. So you continue in the way of sin, not worried about your lack of spiritual knowledge. You lose your soul if you continue in ignorance. Wake up! You have a soul to lose. Let the lack of this knowledge become your great need, so that you will beseech the Lord, "Oh Lord, how can I pray? How can I believe? How can I repent?" Pray the Lord. Open my eyes. Open my ears. Turn me from my inability and unwillingness. Forgive me. Help me. Save me. You need God's might. What you need is the Holy Spirit who seeks you in your impossibilities. He comes to you through His Word, and that He says to you, "Here I am." Come with your empty hands, with your unwillingness, impossibilities, ignorance. So you become a poor sinner, poor in spirit. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says of these? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." But how is it possible that the Lord can forgive sins? How can He forgive while He hates sin? God is angry about every sin. That's true. God cannot look on sin. Surely, sin is rebellion against God. How can our debts be forgiven? For the sake of Christ's blood. That's the basis or foundation of forgiveness. How will sin be forgiven? Only by God. Only He can take away your sin. And that happens when He does not longer impute to me my sins. Impute, that means to charge to your account. Just like in the past, when you bought groceries on account. Today you visit a grocery store, you pay cash or debit. In the past, they wrote your purchase on a bill. And once a week or once a month, you made a payment on account at the store. Your debt was marked on the store ledger. Every sin we commit is added to the list of our sins. Every day, this list grows and grows. Even our children have an infinity long bill, an endless account, because every sin has to be paid for. For every sin, God says, "You are guilty to the death." There are no mitigating, extenuating circumstances. Every sin incurs debt which you have to pay. But you cannot pay. There is one way you can be saved from load of debt. Only when your sins are put on account of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He pays for your sins, when God finds satisfaction for your punishment. How is that possible? What is the basis for the petition, "Forgive us our debts," so we are allowed to pray this petition? Well, God reveals to us in the scripture why we are not only allowed but also obligated to pray this petition. Only because of the suffering and dying of the Lord Jesus has God forgiven all the sins of his people. By free grace alone, God will take away the load of debts from a condemned man and put it on the Lord Jesus. So, the basis of this petition rests upon the blood of Christ. He is the only ground to plead on. Is that your prayer? Be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood, not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, not only once, but again and again, because our daily sins. Some of us might say, it's a great thing when you may know that your debts are forgiven for the sake of Christ's blood. Well, that's right. But tell me, do you seek it? Are you longing to know it? Because it is so important on our way through this life. Do you seek the forgiveness? Do you seek the certainty of these things? If we do not really seek it in our lives, we will not really found rest for our souls. Seek the rest in Christ. Do not rest until you may know on biblical ground that Jesus Christ has also poured out his blood for you. You can also begin to think that if we just confess our sins, there will always be forgiveness of sins. That is what God promised. So confess, and you will be free of sins. When you think in this way, it seems that you expect some automatic forgiveness of sin. But nothing happens automatically in the realm of grace. Everything that God calls grace is a miracle. So do not be misled by Satan in the matter of a cheap forgiveness of sins. He tries to give you a feeling of rest by some simple reasoning. If you believe in Jesus, it is enough when you just confess your sins, so he says. If you confess, well, then it's all right, isn't it? No, the only certainty for the forgiveness of sins you can find in the Word of God. That means that we need to know the applying word of the applying work of the Holy Spirit. He applies the Word of God so you may know by his Word that he will, for the sake of Christ's blood, not impute to us our sins. Because only when God sees you in the Lord Jesus, he no longer sees any sin. This applies even to the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. When God sees you through the blood of his Son, he sees you whole life in a red haze. He sees no debts, no transgressions, and no depravity. The chief sinner is covered by the blood of Christ. O Jesus, thy atoning death is the rest of my soul. There is place in the blood of the Lord Jesus for a wretch. When you know something of this, your life will also show it. That's obvious. Because if you are saved from the greatest need, you receive deliverance in your life. deliverance from the bonds of sins and the burden of your debts, an indescribable peace descends into your heart. You are amazed. Is there forgiveness of debts for me? This amazement makes you long to live before God in truth. It becomes your sincere desire to live in the glory of God. But you also look to your neighbor in another way. You can no longer put yourself above your neighbor, but behind him. Your neighbor, who has no knowledge of the forgiveness of sins, is in deep need. You look forward to the moment he will also possess the grace of God in his heart. You have compassion for your neighbor. This came about from your knowing by faith that your sins are forgiven. Your attitude toward others changes. God gives you the burden to forgive your neighbor in everything he has sinned against you. You attempt to seek the best for your neighbor. Hence, you will also forgive your neighbor in the things he sinned against you. I do not say that this is easy. There are situations of extreme hurt or deep inner harm, wherefore you need time and maybe professional help to come to the point that you can forgive the sin of your neighbor. But in that case, it is not a question whether you long to forgive all, but whether you can forgive because of your inward disposition. The one who has confessed his sins to another must also learn patience with the other when it is difficult for him to say in his face that he forgives his sin. Let us now look closer to the meaning of these words and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Does that mean God only forgives our sins on condition that we forgive the sins of our neighbor? Does it mean that just as we forgive our neighbor, God is committed to forgive our sins? So when I forgive a lot, also the Lord will forgive a lot. No, not as if we first of all have to do something. Then we make it as a condition. No, our willingness to forgive our neighbor is never the ground for God's forgiveness of our debts. No, just on the contrary. If the Lord grants me mercy to forgive the debts of other people, would God be less merciful than I? To forgive the debts of other people is in fact the work of God in my heart. That's what God's people feel in themselves. What do they feel? They long to forgive their neighbor. When you long to forgive others, you will also seek this in your interaction with other people. When you know something of the grace of forgiveness of your sins, we also seek to forgive our neighbor. In the life of grace, God transforms you more and more after the image of the Lord Jesus. God teaches us something of the patience and compassion of Christ has with sinners. Do you long to reflect the image of the Lord Jesus? When you are not willing to be transformed by God, then I am afraid you don't know in your heart what it is to receive forgiveness of sins. It is impossible to sever what God puts together. The forgiveness of sins by God is connected to the forgiveness of our neighbors. It is impossible to receive forgiveness of sins and meanwhile to live in an irreconcilable attitude to your family or other people. Jesus teaches us in Mark 11, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." If you do not forgive, you bring yourself into spiritual darkness. Your soul becomes insensitive to the work of the Spirit. Listen carefully. Jesus does not mean the situation I just mentioned, where it is mentally impossible to forgive. The Lord means the situations you are able to forgive other people, but that you are not willing to forgive, because you still feel the injustice that was done to you. You can be right, but who are you really serving by focusing on the injustice you endured? You only serve yourself. Such reasoning originates from carnal considerations rather than from spiritual. To be the least is a spiritual exercise. Therefore, you need the grace of God, because the grace of God always fights against your flesh. And we, you and I, love our flesh so much. But do you know what the worst thing about the deaths of our neighbors is? What is the worst thing when other people sins against us? Not that someone has done anything against you, but that someone has done anything against another, against the other. Every sin against you is first of all sin against the Holy God. As long as it is not right between your neighbor and you, because he is not interested in forgiveness of his sins, it is also not right between your neighbor and the Lord. Did you ever think about that? Your debtor has a guilt before God, and that is decisive. God's law is violated. It is because of the love in the heart of God's people that they have love for the name and the glory of God. It is because of this love God's people are persuaded to take the lowest place. When you learn to be the least, you do not wait until your debtor comes to you and asks forgiveness. No. When God's love is burning inside, you cannot wait till it's right between you and your debtors. Because in this way, there is no obstacle for him to receive God's forgiveness. The salvation of others is involved. So, the question is no longer only what my debtor has done unto me, but much more what he has done unto God. The more we possess love to God's justice, the easier we find it to be the least. And if you find it sometimes difficult, are you not forgetting who you are? Do you know it, what it is to be a debtor and sinner before God? Do you feel inwardly God's merciful grace for a sinner like you? Don't forget that God not wait until you came to Him. It is by His amazing grace that He looked upon you. Like Paul says, forbearing one another and forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And if you have sinned against your neighbor, can you continue with that guilt? With an awakened conscience, you cannot suffer any longer a bad relationship. There will be a struggle inside with your anger, your bitterness, and maybe your temper. There will only come peace in your heart when, first of all, God forgives your debts, but also when you forgive your debtors and your sins against your neighbor are forgiven. But in this order, the forgiveness of debts by God is the source of forgiveness of our debtors. You need much more forgiveness from God than that you must forgive your neighbor. Would you not be willing to forgive your debtors? Well, you have a mountain of debts before God. This question reminds us to the parable which Jesus spoke about the wicked servant, Matthew 18. This servant had a debt of 10,000 talents. In our day, we should say a debt of millions of dollars. But the Lord of this servant was moved with compassion to forgive him this enormous debt. He forgave the complete debt. What would you expect otherwise than that he should do the same with a fellow servant? A servant which owed him 100 pence, we should say $50. Is it so difficult to forgive his colleague with such small debt? But he did not. He refused to forgive. He refused to act in the spirit of his Lord. And thereby, he risked the forgiveness he had received. To whom much is forgiven, the same loves much. May the Lord bless us with the acknowledgement of forgiveness. Only when your guilt is forgiven, you receive peace in your heart. Only in that way, you will be filled with the love of God. You will also give out the fragrance of love, the fragrance of love. Seek this grace of God in Jesus Christ, by whom we receive the forgiveness of our debts, of our debts. Are there debts we have to confess before God and before others? Maybe things from the past? Even a long time ago? Time does not decrease our debt. The longer ago, the harder it is to come back on an old debt. Now is the time to seek forgiveness of our debts and to forgive your debtors. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Amen.